Welcome to Carnivores Don't Get Sunburned, hosted by Carrie Mann. Dive into the extraordinary journey of rediscovering optimal health through the carnivore diet. Here, we share powerful transformations from reversing chronic illnesses to achieving peak human potential. Each episode, we'll explore the real stories of those who've turned their lives around, embracing a diet that's as natural as the sun. Stay tuned as we uncover the science, the success stories, and the secrets to thriving on this ancestral diet. Plus, don't miss our exciting documentary highlights featuring a diverse range of carnivore champions. Ready to challenge the conventional? Let's get started.
The following is one part of a series of videos with the wonderful Dr. Tony Hampton. If you'd like to watch the other episodes, please check the playlist in the description and be sure to follow Dr. Tony Hampton on YouTube, link in the description below.
I have a lot of new people in my audience just starting carnivore and they hear these arguments. Some of these are good arguments, so I'm going to play a little bit of devil's advocate here, getting a little argument with Dr. Hampton about carnivore diet. So. If carnivore diet is so great, Dr. Hampton, then why are all the blue zones mostly plant-based?
Well, I think the argument that Dan Buettner made about the blue zones are not correct. And I came up, my wife actually came up with this with my son, "Oh no, Lord, I've sinned." And the O is for Okinawa, Japan. The N is for Nicoya, Costa Rica. Loma Linda, California is the L. Nicoya, Greece, I think is a place in Greece that's got that. And then sinned is for, oh no, Lord, I've sinned. I got to think about the sin. I'll think about it in a moment. But the whole point of it is there are places in the world that are considered blue zones that suggest, based on Dan Buettner's observation, that these are where centenarians live the longest. The reality is all of these places eat animals. If we went to Okinawa, Japan, they eat a ton of pork. I have patients from Okinawa, Japan, and they say we eat a ton of pork. So the first thing that Dan Buettner lied about is that it's all plant-based, but that's not true. So I think, so once you eliminate, and then you go to Loma Linda, California and the Seventh-day Adventists, and they only have about 15% of their population are plant-based. They advocate for that, but that's the reality. So if they're being successful with longevity, it's not because they're plant-based, it's because they have a sense of community. They have support, they exercise, they don't smoke and drink and all of those things. So I think that's it's really a misconception of the concept. So I tell people who follow the blue zones, I say it's not plant-based. And it's the other aspects of the blue zones that make it, areas that thrive. By the way, people in Hong Kong always either are first or second place for longevity, and they eat the equivalent of 2 steaks per person per day. Places like Iceland, where they eat primarily seafood and things like that, they also are living very long, and yet we don't have them as part of the blue zone. So why is Hong Kong and Iceland not part of the blue zones? That's because there was an agenda to spread mis messages, and they knew those places were more animal based. So I just think information is power, and I'm just happy that people are learning these messages so they can not fear meat when they're fearing it.
The next question I have for you, this is one of the more popular ones when talking about carnivore. Won't eating all of that meat clog your arteries and give you a heart attack?
Yeah, well, that is...
Quick interruption. Beast Mode Soap sent me this soap, 100% beef tallow, free to try. This is certified grass-fed tallow, never vegan, made in the USA, natural essential oils. We got forest ash, paleo pine. We're in the pine forest. The forest ash is my favorite. I've been using it for a while now. They sent this to me for free, but I liked it so much I agreed to do a paid partnership with them because I believe people need to know what they're putting on their body. And the soap that I had at home is full of chemicals, detergents. Seriously, after I use this soap, my skin feels so soft and so incredible. What you put on your skin ends up in your bloodstream. And I only want to put good things in my body and on my body. And this, there couldn't be much better. This is 100% beef tallow.
Learn more at beastmoatsoap.com.
Won't eating all of that meat clog your arteries and give you a heart attack?
Based on studies that were observational. So there have been some observational studies that would suggest that eating meat is harmful. But what they don't do in those observational studies is they don't look at, you know, are they healthy meat eaters or not? So a healthy meat eater is a person who has a pretty healthy lifestyle. They don't smoke. They don't have a lot of stress going on. An unhealthy meat eater is eating the fast food burgers, the French fries, and the sugary drinks that go with it. So was it the meat or was it the French fries or the sugary drink? So the quality of the meat, paired with a healthy lifestyle will absolutely solve that concern. The reality is when they do randomized controlled trials, they do not see an association between meat and mortality. So it's all based on poorly done studies that do not show cause and effect. And when they do cause and effect randomized controlled trials, they do not see that connection.
The next question is, the body needs fiber. How can carnivore be healthy if you're not consuming fiber?
Yeah, I think we all hear that. I remember making a video about this from the Journal of Gastroenterology. And in that study, they found that the folk who didn't consume fiber didn't have bloating, didn't have cramping in their abdomen, didn't have problems with constipation, ironically. So the zero fiber diet, and it wasn't just a few of those folk. Everybody in the study didn't complain of abdominal pain, bloating, constipation, and things like that. And the people who did complain about that were the high fiber folk. Now, anybody who's had fiber knows it can cause bloating. Everybody knows that. Are there people out there who seem to benefit from fiber? Yeah, when they went from the standard American diet to fiber, sure they did. But the research suggests that even if you find a study that shows fiber may be helpful, right? We also have studies that show it's absolutely not necessary. So I think what people have to do is individualize what they decide to do. And for me, when I eat fiber, my belly feels horrible. This is something I'll say really quickly. I had a patient come in who had diverticulitis, which comes from diverticula, little pouches in the colon. And that's mainly from inflammation. They told this patient, I couldn't believe it, I need you to go on a low-carb, zero-fiber diet to heal. And then after you do that, we're going to put you back on a high-fiber diet. And I thought she was making this up. And she showed me the paperwork. So you're going to tell me which diet heals me, and you're going to ask me to do that. And then you're going to put me on a diet that may have contributed to these symptoms. But that's the world we live in because we've been blinded by those guidelines that are not up to date and accurate. We feared meat and other things like saturated fat so much that we are so blind that we can't even see that we're harming people with that advice. So is fiber necessary? 100% not. It's not a nutrient that your body needs. The bear eating the salmon doesn't need it. The tiger, they don't eat Frosted Flakes. They eat meat. So let's get rid of the cartoon characters. Let's get rid of Tony the Tiger and Winnie the Pooh and eat real food and not worry about something we don't need like fiber.
If carnivore is so good, why aren't there any long-term studies proving it?
Well, first of all, a lot of the impetus to do research is based on how it's going to benefit the person doing the research. So we do consider carnivore a keto diet. So we do kind of lean on that a little bit. And I know Harvard did a large observational study, let's be clear. But when they did their observational study, it showed that pretty much everybody did. I mean, 90-something percent of the people did well. So we need to move forward in a way that allows us to do more research. Now, right now we're living on common sense knowledge about how the body works. We're eating essential foods and we're seeing the markers of good health improve. So rather you're measuring your fasting insulin level or your C-reactive protein set rate or your A1C, whatever marker that you're measuring, triglyceride to HDL ratio less than 2. If we measure these things and you're improving on this diet, we can then say, okay, this looks like the right diet. Now we need to take the time to get the research done so we can, substantially say, okay, we know it's like a keto diet. And we know keto, we've had plenty of research on that. Now we need to do the isolated carnivore study. But my patients can't wait until that's done. So until people like Dr. Sean Baker and others do more research, we have to heal people. And if things are getting better, I've lost weight, doc. My blood pressure is better. My blood sugar is better. Those aches and pains from arthritis is better. If that's happening, we have to then assume that that's not harming them. And then we wait for the study. So I'm not too worried about the carnivore studies not being present yet because this is a keto diet. And we have tons of keto studies that show that works. And so that's why I think people should be reassured not to worry that they're going to harm themselves. And by the way, there's not a lot of long-term studies for any nutritional dietary pattern. So we can sit here and talk about that as well. But I think that that's why it's very reassuring for me.
Carnivore is a fad diet. Why can't people just eat in moderation?
Well, there's certain things that I liked in the past that I felt wasn't harmful. Now, for me, if I ate an Italian beef, and if I go to Portillo's, for those who are in America, that Italian beef is going to be 60 carbs. So why can't I just eat that? Well, if I have diabetes, do I really want to consume 60 carbs divided by 4 is 15 teaspoons of sugar? Do I want to eat 15 teaspoons of sugar in moderation? That's the question. Now, the good news is that if I go to Portillo's, I can get a protein bowl. And I can get a protein bowl with a fork and I can eat that with 0 carbs. Or I can get a protein and sausage bowl with 4 carbs. Wouldn't it be a more responsible thing to eat that in moderation? Now I don't have to worry about trying to match my medication. Let's just say I'm trying to match my insulin with 60 carbs. Well, the chances that I'll match that perfectly. I wonder if the people at Portillo's measured the beef perfectly and gave me exactly the amount. So maybe it's 70 carbs, maybe it's 50 carbs. I don't know. But if I don't match that now, I either gave myself too much insulin or not enough. So I'm either hyperglycemic or hypo, and I'm on a roller coaster. But if I have a 4 carb or a 0 carb meal, I may not need any insulin. And if I do need it, I need just a little. And that matching of the spike of glucose with the medicine will be much easier. So I'm just trying to give people a way to have a much simpler life so that they can exist in a way that's easy. And I think that the carnivore diet makes things simple and easy.
My final argument against carnivore is I would do carnivore, but it's so expensive I couldn't possibly afford to just eat meat.
in a world where the cost of everything is expensive, you would think we're an elitist. Now, I'm not sure how wealthy you've been over the years, Carrie. I don't know if you came from royalty, but we're not elitists. I grew up in a tough neighborhood on the west side of Chicago. I've never been elitist. And so carnivores are actually being very practical. I mean, literally, I could wake up and just eat ground beef all day and be fine. So I don't have to eat ribeye, by the way. I mean, it's so disappointing when you go into a Sam's and you see people looking at the ribeye and they just shake their head and walk away. Even at Sam's, which is the discount store, it costs too much. But the reality is chicken thighs are not that bad. Ground beef is not that bad. So what you have to do, and then certain cuts, I heard you on a couple of shows talk about different types of cuts you've been experimenting with. that are cheaper. So you can do that as well. But guess what? I'm not, we don't snack a lot in my house. Guess what? The medical bills don't, they're not that high in my house. I mean, my wife has type 1 diabetes, but she's not running to the ER for hypoglycemia and things like that. So we save money on other aspects of our life. So when the egg prices go back down, that's very affordable when the egg prices go back down. Bird flu won't be here forever. So I think that if you're not doing the things that you normally would do, I mean, the amount of money we wasted on just letting the fruit spoil. I mean, the vegetables. I mean, if it wasn't frozen, it's a good chance it's going to spoil. So the meat, we never let that go rancid. So I just think that for us, we find that it's not expensive at all, unless we're eating the expensive versions. And there's many videos out there that show you how to do a carnivore diet on a budget. And I think that that's, in fact, I'm going to release a video about that very soon as well. So we have to just educate people. And when you're not hungry and you're not snacking, you're going to save a ton of money.
If you'd like to watch the other episodes, please check the playlist in the description and be sure to follow Dr. Tony Hampton on YouTube, link in the description below.